morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Call the meeting to order. We have an agenda circulated. I have some changes. 7.2 is off the agenda and will be brought forward on the 13th of September. 12.1, request by the Liverpool Baseball Club for assistance. There's an addition on the in-camera items. 17.2, a land matter. 17.3 is a personnel matter. Are there any other changes, deletions, that anyone would like to the agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve it as amended. Councillor Frelick, Councillor Fisk, all in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is a real pleasure, because I'd like to call Norma Mira to come forward. Norm is retiring after many years of service, 30-some years, Norm? It's an exciting day for him, because not only is he retiring, but he's about to start on a new career. I think everybody knows now.
Yes, I believe.
So he's going to have to gain a little weight to fill the pants that he's just acquiring. Oscar's probably going to leave a pair for you to fill.
Well, I'll work on that.
Okay. Well, Norm has been with the town of Liverpool, and then when the Region of Queens first started, Norm became a recreation director here. He's done a lot of very good work over the years. We really appreciate all of you, Don Norm, and would like to wish you well in the future.
Thank you.
Did you get that cover back there? I'd like to call forward as the next item on the agenda, which is the presentation of the audited financial statements. And I'd like to call Paul Beliveau, Mike Metcalf, and Mike Beliveau here, if you would, please. Take us through. Could you refer to which page of the document you're on, because someday it helps us follow.
Okay, well, first off, I'd like to the worship and your council. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity for us to provide services to you this year. Staff has worked very well with our people. I should introduce, was Michael Beliveau and Mike Metcalf were the ones that pretty much did all of the audit. I can't take much responsibility for it, but I'm Paul Beliveau, so I would be the senior partner in our firm. The report is a clean report, which is always good, and the financial statements Mike Metcalf will go through, but the town or the region appears to be in very good financial position right now. Reserves are in place, cash balances, and you do have debt, but debt is good for what you have to do, because quite often you can't have all of the money reserves. And the town is all, sorry, the region is, as well, has been working towards, you know, improving on some things like for collections on various taxes and unsightly premises and things like that. So everything is in a positive traction. So I'll turn it over to Mike to do a further presentation on region statements.
Thank you, Paul.
So I'd like to, so we have section A, section B, and section C. Section A would be the consolidated statements. Section B would be the non-consolidated statements, and section C is your trust funds. So section B has the most detail, so I'd like to start there, really. We'll start with page B1. And this is just a non-consolidated operating fund statement of operations, so your income statement for your operating fund. So the first line, taxes, your assessed values were down across the region. However, there was a tax rate increase this year. So that has increased your tax revenues by a little over $400,000 this year, which is great. Landfill revenues in your services provided to other governments and sale of services lines 3 and 4. They're still very strong, $1.674 million this year and $864,000 for the sale of services. This is still strong. You actually had lost a contract this year for some recycling and organics, but there was an increase of revenue over the budget, which is pretty strong, and that contract has actually come back for the 2017 fiscal year. Sale of services increased this year, and the main reason is Queen's Place. I'm sorry, the landfill revenues is just line 3. The sale of services has more to do with Queen's Place and other services provided other than the landfill. Queen's Place revenues were up over $150,000 this year, which is good to see. Going to the expenses side, general government services is up over $160,000. This is due partly to you had a couple of CAOs. Richard was training with Kathleen for a couple of months, which increased the salaries slightly in that area. And you also had a small amount of property taxes, uncollectible taxes, that needed to be written off this year. Fiscal services were up $500,000 over budget. And because the revenues were up, there's more opportunity to fund the reserves. So this is why this line is up over $500,000, because more money was put into the reserves than was budgeted for, which is a good thing, obviously. So to page B2, which is the general section operating fund balance sheet. I'll just go over this in general. Assets are up over $3 million. The surplus has increased slightly, and liabilities are up over $3 million. This sounds a little weird, however, it's really due to there was transfers to other funds that were due but didn't happen to occur before year end. So the cash in the bank was increased, but the liabilities due to other funds like the reserves were also so. Taxes receivable remain similar. And similar to last year, and there was an increase of other receivables by about $250,000. That's mainly due to the additional unsightly premises fines and other miscellaneous items like that. We'll turn to section B3, which is the capital section, the general capital section. So the, and I want to direct you to the property, plant, and equipment fund. There's really not a whole lot to comment on this section. It's all fairly static for this year. However, the net book value, the $50,583,000, is similar to 2015's $50,850,000, which means that the investments of capital assets is keeping up with the depreciation that's going on over the year, which is a good sign. So we'll go all the way to B17, actually, which is the water utility section. And again, not much to comment on this. Revenues are very static, which we expect with the water service. And expenses were quite comparable to budgets the whole way down the income statement. And there was a very small surplus of $2,900 this year, which the water utility basically broke even. So we'll go to section B20. Just the water utility capital assets. The only thing I want to point out is the increase in the mains section, which is due to the ongoing work installing the water in Brooklyn, I believe, for this year. So I'll take you to section C. Again, this is really quick. Please stop me if you have any questions. Section C is your trust funds, and the trust funds are for items like scholarships that are handed out each year, your tax sales surplus, which needs to be held in a trust position for 20 years after the tax sale, and the Hillsview resident accounts. And again, not much to comment on here. It's nothing really extraordinary happened this year, other than the tax sale. There were a couple of tax sales on page C2. So there's some proceeds from tax sales from $27,300, but there's also a redemption of $36,000 that someone actually came back and claimed the land that was sold in a tax sale, came up with the liabilities that they had against the land, and got that land back. Right. So I'll take you all the way back to section A, which is the consolidated portion of the statement, which really gives a clear picture on the overall state of the municipality. So section A2, cash and cash equivalents, up almost $700,000 over last year. Receivables, tax rates, and other, were up around $250,000. Again, driven by the additional miscellaneous receivables that you had on the books, since taxes receivable were very similar to last year this time. Total assets up over $900,000, $17,288 from $17,288 compared to $16,383 last year. Accounts payable and accrued liabilities down slightly. This just due to the timing of payments. There was nothing extraordinary happening there. Deferred revenue up over a little over $100,000. This is due to the Beach Boys concert. The tickets were sold before year end, and the concert didn't happen until June 30th. So so the revenue wasn't earned yet. Long-term debt has decreased. This is great. No new debt taken out, and the regular payments were made as scheduled. Landfill liability for post-closure cleanup is increased a little over $200,000 this year. This is this increases as the landfill is used for this municipality, and also it takes in the other municipalities around the area's waste. So this is an increase due to the cleanup costs that are going to occur after the landfill is full. And this is more than funded by the reserve that you have on hand. So section A3, the consolidated statement of operations. So I went over the detail in section B, so I'll just touch briefly on this. So the revenues were up. Total revenues were up almost $700,000 over the previous year, and up almost $1 million from budget. Expenses up almost $400,000, and a little over $300,000 from the budget. This created an annual surplus this year of $1.16 million, which is great news. So that's all I've got. Any questions?
Any questions from members of council? Council Fancy.
Okay, of course, there's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of big numbers that you just don't understand.
I just whizzed over it.
You got to be able to look at it and try to find, and just assume that that's what. That's what the numbers are, because that's not our job. But when I look over here on C2, when I look at the assets, when I see the former employee pension trust, does that mean that there's money out there that what is that? Is this somebody who wasn't here before? I don't know.
It's the clerk position from prior to amalgamation. There's a smaller trust fund, kind of a subsidiary trust set up for that clerk pension.
Okay.
And the reserve has been fully funding it through the years. It's a small amount that's added to the other regular pension amount. It was
okay.
Set up by the former municipality.
Okay. And I just got one other quick question here, and that's E over in B3, when it says accounts receivable. We talked about our federal government and provincial government, like I could see there from the 53,000 to the 26,000, that's taking away the amount that the federal government is giving us, but it's also being picked up by the provincial. Is that what it is? I don't understand that.
We distinguish in our various trade payable accounts, so
right.
All the vendor accounts payable at the end of the year.
Right.
On the financial statement, it's a PSAP rule that you have to distinguish from where those funds are payable to.
Right.
So there's various provincial entities, federal entities. The majority of the federal one is the HST remittance.
Okay.
At the end of the year. The provincial one would be the things like other departments. So if there was a Department of Transportation, say permit renewals or something like that that was due to the province at the end of the year, all it is just distinguish the various payables at the end of the year and where they're due to.
Okay.
It's the accounts payable at the end of the year.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor Norman.
Mike, why you say it's great that we had over $1 million surplus, that's really not so great when you think about budgeting and how you really don't want to have that big difference. Because had we known that, then our tax rate would have been what it was last year. So things that we didn't plan for, like the, you know, 150,000 extra from Queen's Place, the extra revenues from landfill. Do you have any advice that you could provide staff and council regarding budgeting for next year? those unknown, you know, we really don't wanna be sitting with $1 million, we don't wanna be a million in the hole, but then again, from the tax point of view, we also don't wanna have $1 million surplus every year. It sort of makes the whole budgeting thing look wrong. So what advice could you give to prevent that from happening? Because I think that's the biggest surplus that I can remember, ever, since I've been here, and it's not, you know, so what could we do looking forward to next year so that that, we don't end up with a big surplus like that again, you know, better budgeting? Any comments from?
It's a book entry. It's amortization. It's not an actual cash entry. The consolidated statements have amortization that we have to record for PSAB. So it's there's $1.8 million in amortization entry that has to be made each year. It's not a true payout entry. It's not a cash entry. It's just a book entry. Our surplus for operations was
$93,207. Okay.
Right. Yep. But even that was up from the $3,600
right.
that was budgeted.
That's
to
still
right.
a lot. That's still a penny.
Yep.
And of course, you can't budget for the unknown, right? So it's great that you're on this side of the surplus, but I mean, there's also capital expenditures that don't go in this, like Jennifer said, the financial statement that we're budgeted for.
And am I right in saying that you're pretty conservative in the way you budget for contaminated soil, for example?
Correct.
And
we budget 20,000, and normally it is more, but I would hate to have a year where it wasn't more and we budgeted extra. And that's a reserve transfer, and we build towards that landfill, which is the reason why this year we were able to fully fund the $3.7 million landfill expansion without borrowing money. Because that landfill reconciliation, that extra money that we use see in those reserves gets transferred into that landfill reserve for the expansion.
Any other questions? Any other comments? Paul, Mike?
No, I don't think so. I think the big thing is the funding of the reserves and your amortization, and that would be the big reason for the change. And like I said at the beginning, we went through these in detail with staff, and they've given us the confidence that the issues that we brought up or raised, or questions that we raised and things like that are on their radar, and we'll be chased, you know, they'll be monitoring receivables, but maybe be more aggressive, because you have to be careful how aggressive you are. And then also, we've also wanted to become more familiar with operations that we can share some of our knowledge from other places or whatever in the future as well. So I think that's about it.
Thank you. Councilor Ingram.
Maybe better addressed by Jennifer, but maybe Mike can give advice. When tax sale funds come in after 20 years, when the hold goes, Where do they go?
We are able to take them back to revenue.
Just to revenue in the year that they come.
Yeah. We have a small amount that will come forward this year, actually.
And then there's some coming in the next 5 years.
And then the
or
next
so,
few
it?
Years, yeah, it's kind of steady for, I think, 3 years, where
yeah.
it's 20,000.
It just goes right to operating.
Yeah. So I will actually make note of those and allow for them during budget deliberations.
I suppose that makes sense, because it came out of operating when the taxes and expenses weren't paid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Other comments or questions? If not, thank you very much indeed. It's a huge effort, I know, and we don't seem to do it justice when we ask questions and so on, but it's very comfortable to know that you're happy with what you're seeing and that we are running a good ship.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
item on the agenda is the tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions this meeting? Okay, not hearing any. Then the item 5 on the agenda, any questions or comments from members of the public? And please identify yourself and your street address.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Leon Robertson, College Street in Liverpool. I'm very pleased with the presentation from the auditors. It was quite clear and straightforward, and particularly with the clarification of the surplus there, when we're looking at the 1.15 million, looking at it as cash or whatever, at the explanation that was given there, the actual being 93,000 with respect to cash. So that clarifies that. Another item I wanted to mention is reading in the press yesterday, the local press, the funding that's been approved by the federal government for the water sewer projects, and it indicated the two, the one for Main Street down to school, and the one that you're doing on part of the school street. If I remember correctly, I think when the application went in, was also included the addition further down in Brooklyn on the sewage water project there. Was that not approved?
The my understanding, and I stand to be corrected by the CAO, is that when we submitted it, the work was already in progress. There was an ambiguity in the application form as to whether or not you could submit a project that was already underway.
This is for the additional, not for this year, but for next year. Was it not for going down the?
No, I don't think so. No.
For Brooklyn.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. We took what we were already started for this year. We figured we'd ask. We weren't surprised when we came back and clarified that. What they were enabling is people to do have already spent some money on some preliminary design and things, but we had equipment digging up. We were already well at that, so it wasn't eligible.
So I was thinking that it was the one that you're looking at for next year going down on Shore Road here.
No.
It's Markland Avenue one, I guess, as you call it now.
Right.
Okay. So you'll still be looking at the one down Shore Road next year. Of course, Markland Avenue will soon be done anyway.
Right.
Well, I think next year, no, I don't think we need to be, it should be so quick, because we have a tremendous amount of work to do now, having got those grants. We've got to build sewer from the four-way stop of Waterloo down to the bottom of school and then over to Carton Street. So the schedules aren't worked up yet, are
they?
That's
right. We've got to clarify what our five-year plan will roll out to be.
I guess
so, and that'll come back to council.
That you had for this year, and I think it indicated that.
Yes.
I realize things have changed now.
Yeah, and what it's doing really is allowing us to get 2 or 3 years ahead in the plan that we had. I mean, we've got all this extra money.
Yeah.
It's great to be able to jump ahead in that program.
Okay, one other item, if I could, Mr. Mayor. Under 16.1, the job description that's coming up there for the Municipal Physical Activity Leadership Program and hiring the person. And I see there where the province is putting in $30,000 a year for the next 5 years, I believe, for that particular program. And this year, you people are looking at approving a $10,000, or I did approve $10,000 this year for your share. I'm thinking down the road, there's going to have to be more funds put in over this five-year program than $10,000, because the salary that you're looking at is $40,000 to start that person, and then I would assume that person will be open in the community working with community groups and so on. So not for this year, but for another year, that expense will be much more than $10,000 that you're going to have to put in to keep that program going. Is that correct, Mayor?
Yes, and when we did the original report on that $10,000 was for this year, and it would have to be.
I realize you looked after for this year, but another year, that
future wage model
is going to go up.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there anybody else, Mr. Dagley?
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane, Liverpool. I'd like to thank Mayor and Council staff for the prompt response and update for the Markland Avenue sidewalk issue. There is a correction, I do believe, in the beginning of 16.2, in the background paragraph at the top. It states that the petition asked Council to consider reinstating the sidewalks. I believe the petition asks for a sidewalk, that would be singular, and I would hope that that would be amended. I would also ask if you could update us on how this information, update information, will be provided to residents on Markland Avenue and the process that will follow to ensure that they have input on the final determination.
Well, I think already staff has visited the site and has talked to some of the residents down there. There has been no decision made on, and at this point, on what's going to happen. That comes later in the agenda. And once that decision is made, I'm sure we'll be communicating again. Our pattern all through this project has been extensive consultation with the people, with the residents there, going back to June when they were first advised what the plan was going to be, with letters to them. We will continue that, so we will ensure that we'll just follow the procedure we've had. Any other questions?
John Winters, 56 Pierce Point Road, Westernhead. This regards 16.1. Thank you for showing up. In 2009-2010, the region created a physical activity project strategy. This sounded very much like the one you're proposing now. And that strategy was created using focus groups, partnerships with schools, community organizations, and large community of influential people from government and the public. The resulting survey was 90 pages long. It included an Ipsos Reid survey of public activity. Now, the question I have is it anticipated that the new strategy will differ in a significant way from the previous strategy? It sounds as if you're going to do a new strategy. First question. The second question is, the old strategy had reporting deadlines, and it had scheduling for the accomplishments. And yet, I have not seen any indication that there was any reporting from those committees. So would it not be good for council to ascertain the accomplishments and effectiveness of the previous strategy before starting with another?
Do you have a comment on?
Sure, so I can answer both. So firstly, recommendation before council is to approve the job description for the coordinator. It's not a new strategy. There is a strategy that was created some years ago, some of it partially implemented. You're right, the time decisions were made to focus our resources on economic development. Now we've received an offer for more funding support for the province to reinstate that position, and absolutely it will be required. It's will be required in the MOU with the province around reporting and accountability and working with stakeholders groups. So there'll be more to come back to council and the public on the work of this position.
Yeah. Well, what confused me was and I'm quoting here, the overall task will be to develop and implement the comprehensive physical activity strategy for the region of Queens municipalities. And it goes on, et cetera, to meet its goal of increasing physical activity in the region. And that sounds as though we're going to write a new strategy.
Obviously, we've got to review.
It doesn't say that we will confirm the old strategy or carry on with the old strategy or whatever. So I apologize if I misunderstood that.
But if something is 6 years old, it makes sense that you would review it and update where you're going with it. Anybody else like to address council? Okay, thank you. Then that brings us to item six, the approval of the minutes of the August 9th council meeting. Councilor Fancy moving, is there a seconder? Councilor English seconding, all in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. The next item I'd ask Special Constable Kellyanne Hurley to come forward, please.
Good morning.
morning.
Good morning. So we need a motion.
Yes. I so move that the Region of Queens Council declare the property located at 573 Main Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia. And that the Region of Queens Council cause an order to be served upon the owner of that the property, requiring that within 7 days of the date of the service of the order, the following work be carried out. Number one, grass to be cut and maintained on a seasonal basis. And that if the owner fails to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out and all expenses incurred by the Region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owner.
Is there a second for that motion? Councilor McLeod. Discussion. Come in.
573 Main Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 7001-7777. The assessed owner, Catherine Jean McGlynn. It's imperative to note that Ms. McGlynn is not here today to represent the property. This offending property has been on and off our dangerous and unsightly roster since 2014. The dwelling on this property is vacant and has been for some time. The lawn has yet to be mowed or the property maintained at all this year. A recent conversation with the property owner, Catherine Jean McGlynn, revealed that she was actually unsure if whether or not she indeed still was responsible for the said property due to a tax sale posting in January of 2016. Ms. McGlynn stated that she would mow the grass on or before August 8th. However, as of this morning, compliance has not been received at this time. On January 21st, 2016, a tax sale for 573 Main Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia was held. However, the property did not sell. This property will be posted for public tender in the very near future for a sale deadline of September 28th, 2016. Thus, my recommendation to cut the grass. It is considered a fire hazard and it is a threat to public safety. That's photo number one. I only have three photos this morning. I mean, you can only take so many photos of grass. Okay. Yes? Pointed where?
Oh, never mind.
You can see them on the side here.
You can see them on the side. I don't know why it's not.
Yeah, you have to use your arrow.
Okay, let's do it this way then.
Yeah.
How's that?
That's good.
Perfect.
Great. And number three, showing the height of the grass. It's actually up past my waist. I mean, I'm not that tall, but as you see, it's considered to be quite dangerous and or unsightly. And I understand actually that the posting for tender was conducted yesterday, am I right, Jennifer?
It's
yes.
Been listed in the advance.
Okay, discussion. Councilor Inglis.
And I'm going off track because I want to be assured of the long-term situation here. When we post for tender, is it just to the highest bidder with no reserve, or?
There's a minimum reserve. So we have an opening bid.
Okay.
In the advertisement.
And what's the opening bid in the advertisement? Remember?
Nope.
Okay.
I do.
Do you? Oh, what is it, Kelly?
I sent it to you.
I have it right here.
Really?
Gee, I wish I had brought my glasses. $9,600, not including HST.
Okay. So this order, though, has the seasonal wording in it, which means that if this doesn't, if there's not a sale, we'll continue to make sure that it's safe for the time being.
Absolutely. This will be considered an open recommendation,
right,
or order. But I can tell you, without giving too much information, I'm not allowed to, but we do have an interested buyer.
Great.
Councilor McLeod.
With the cost of mowing the grass and cleaning up the property, does that go on as a lien against, how does this work with the costs incurred with the property?
It will be an
that
added
can
lien.
Be recovered.
It will be an added lien to the tender, Jennifer?
Yes, we will probably revise the tender ad if we in fact are the ones to incur the cost. I think we were hoping when we first advertised it that there was gonna be cooperation. And that we wouldn't incur costs.
So we recover all of our costs.
Absolutely. I will tender out the process. I mean, it hasn't been done to this date. I will start the tender process this afternoon. After the 7-day order, we will have somebody go in and immediately do what needs to be done. At the lowest cost, of course.
Councilor Fancy.
On the property such as that, why would we have a minimum amount that we would put to it? Because we want to get rid of it, right? And the danger as it is, the fire hazard and everything else.
So I advertise an opening bid, which is to compensate us for the outstanding property taxes, interest, expenses, and any unsightly charges that have been applied to the account.
Right.
So that's the first process. So, well, the second process. The first process is it didn't sell at a tax sale auction.
Right.
And then I'm able to then advertise it for a tax sale tender and accept sealed bids because it didn't sell at an auction. And then the third process would be to come back to council and look to council for a minimum or a decreased bid where I would end up writing off some of the amounts that are outstanding. The first step in a tax sale tender is to try and recoup that which is outstanding.
Okay.
Okay. Further discussion? If not, I'm going to take the question on the motion. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. Do we have anything under economic development, Deputy Mayor?
Nothing to report requiring council motion or anything. Jill continues to follow her departmental guidelines and actions.
Thank you. Corporate services, Councilor?
Nothing at the present time except, as we all know, that we had some serious forest fires in my district and also in Annapolis County. That our fire departments in Queens assisted in all those different areas, and I want to give them thanks for all the hard work and hours they put in, and everything's under control and they're doing well.
And it goes really beyond the fire departments to the auxiliaries.
Auxiliaries and plus volunteers that
amazing job.
Also people that sent food, drinks, whatever in to the different departments. Really appreciate it.
Okay, any questions on the corporate services? Engineering and works, Councilor Waterman's not here. Do we have anything, CAO, that we should be brought forward? We're still working on Markham Avenue, making good progress there.
Yep.
Great. When do you think we'll have the schedule for starting the work on these two big funded projects? Will we
for the I believe that our intent is to have a 5-year capital plan in front of you, council, soon. And soon.
Okay.
In the next couple of weeks.
Okay, because the work that's covered by those grants has to be completed by the end of March 2018.
Right.
That brings us to item 11, and there is a motion, Councilor Inglis.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the audited financial statements and the trust fund financial statements for the fiscal year ended March 31, 2016, as presented by Bellavo Vino, Inc.
Seconded by Councilor Fisk. I should just point out, maybe for the public, that this is the first time that we have used Bellavo Vino. For years and years, we used Bob Stafford and his various companies, and then continued with his company after that. So this is the first time for this firm, and it was a competitive bid. You asked for quotes?
It was.
And
we tendered.
And you found them satisfactory? And
very professional.
Good. Okay, Discussion on the motion? If not, I'm going to take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. That brings me to item 12. Okay, so it is Recreation, Councillor Frelick.
If I may, I have to declare a conflict of interest. John Long is my son-in-law. So he's the applicant here.
Okay, yes, you may indeed. Thank you. Sorry.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens approve a tournament and special events assistant grant of $500 to the Liverpool Baseball Club to host the Provincial Baseball Championship Tournament on August 26, 27, 28, 2016.
Seconded by Councilor Fancy. Discussion, Heather, could you bring us up to date or
yes.
Elaborate?
We received a letter from the Liverpool Baseball Club, as you can all see in the packet. They're having a provincial tournament this weekend that has two divisions. There's an under 15 and an under 11. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring a lot of people into the community. There are seven teams, including our home team, as well as five teams in the upper division. It's a good thing for our community. It falls within the allowable amount. There's a standard $500 that we give to tournaments, provincial level and higher. And we have money in the budget for it. So.
Thank you. Discussion? Deputy Mayor.
I think it's a great thing to see that we've got some provincial baseball, because baseball is just about gone.
Yes.
So it's good to see an interest, enough local
this current
to bring it back up again. So
this current group that
thing.
Are running the club have really done a lot in the last couple of years to revitalize the sport.
Yeah.
Councilor Fancy.
I remember back in the spring when we met with I give Norm the credit for that. We met with the baseball clubs because they wanted to be able to fix up the fields because they were starting
yes.
to get into disrepair, and they wanted the region to help and to be able to see what we could do to get that this going again. Because that had the hardball field hadn't been used for the last couple of years, just been sitting there dormant. And they said they wanted to bring in provincial tournaments, and they did it. And I hats off to them for all the work they did.
Councilor Fisk.
Just what age, Heather? What age group?
There's an under 15 category.
Madam.
There's an under 11 category. So,
it's great.
And I would. At that age, they bring families with them, so
it's
it'll
great
really
to
do
it.
A lot for the community as well as for the sport.
It's great to see Queens getting involved in baseball again, because it's a very good sport, and it keeps the younger generation out of trouble and keeps them very busy. So,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great sport. Right, so great.
Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. And Heather, could you ask Susan to come in? Thank you. Okay. We are at item 13-1, the sale of municipal land on King Street. Councillor McLeod.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality direct staff to negotiate a purchase and sale agreement with Sandra Allison and Jimmy Jetry for the sale of a 10-foot wide strip of municipal land in front of their property on King Street in Liverpool.
Seconded by Councillor Inglis. Discussion, Mike, please.
Yes, the owners of property at 153 King Street have submitted a request. There's a 10-foot strip of King Street extension that was closed back in 1997. It was council's intention at that time that they declare that area as surplus lands and offer that for sale to the abutting property owners. Back in 97, one of the abutting properties did acquire the strip in front of their property, and now the property owners at 153 King have made application to acquire the strip that's in front of their property as well.
In fact, I can even remember that happening.
Yes, you would. Now, under the Municipal Government Act, I guess this parcel of land is only 10 foot by approximately 100 feet. So it's of little value for any other development other than that of the abutting property owner. So that allows council to consider selling the parcel of land at less than fair market value. So back in 97, the abutting property was sold for what equated to about 53, 54 cents per square foot. Council at that time felt that would be a reasonable price for the area of land.
Questions? Discussion? Yes, Deputy
Just
Mayor.
A comment. There's other properties on that street where we still own those little 10-foot strips that really aren't used for travels, because like you can see the one next door is.
That's correct.
And maybe this will re-trigger and remind people, those property owners, that if they wanted to buy that section of land on their fronts, that they can.
Yeah, I think in 96, as I remembered, it was Elsie Ingram who owned that property, and she was old and wasn't interested in doing it, so she brings it along.
Yeah, and I think it only goes down to the King Street. It's just the upper portion of King Street, so I think there's another piece further up the road and the piece that's on the corner of George. So I think there's only those two strips that are still left.
Any further discussion on the motion? If not, I'm going to take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. And we have a streetlight request on the 13-2.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the installation of two new streetlights on Bridge Street in Milton.
Seconded by Councilor Fancy. Discussion. Mike, do you have some background you want to give us? Or?
I guess just a brief overview of what's in the staff report. I guess with the establishment of the new bridge in Milton, there was no street lights with the Department of Transportation that were included as part of that project. It is a very dark area. There's, I guess, the closest street light on the Trunk 8 would be in front of Ron's trophies and awards. So there's really no light that's lighting the Bridge Street itself. So it's very dark at night, and Councillor Fancy feels that it is a danger to both the vehicle and pedestrian traffic that are utilizing Bridge Street. So I guess in the absence of installing new poles, there's an existing pole that on the east side, on Trunk 8 side, that would help light the east side. And there's a pole that's in Tupper Park that could be utilized to light up the west side of Bridge Street. So under policy, where a streetlight has already been installed within Councillor Fancy's district within this fiscal year, policy sets out that there's only one light can be installed, except council has the ability to, in dangerous circumstances, look at installing additional lights. So that's what, if council was to proceed with that, they'd be utilizing that clause of the policy.
Thank you. First of all, Councillor Fancy, then Councillor Fisk. were you up? Did you want to speak, Councillor Fancy?
Okay. The again, over here, when they put in the new bridge, I thought there was going to be lights there, and that's be part of their project. But as it came forth, there were some other issues that have come along too. But they just said this is what they've done, and this is where they're completed. So there's nothing more they're going to do with it. And it is pitch dark when you go on either end. Now up on Botanic Street, there is up on the upper side, they have a light there that shines back down across that to give you some kind of light, but even that's really dark up there. But down here there's nothing, and it's a longer bridge. By these two spots, they can be able to at least the one on in the Tupper Park can give you the sidewalk too, that which is really when you're walking across there at night, it's really, it, you know, it is pitch dark. And the other way would be shining down. These are the two closest places. The one in Tupper Park already has a light that shines into the park. It would be just another one that would shine out towards the west side of the bridge and take part of the sidewalk.
Okay, Councillor Fisk was next, yes.
Just a quick comment on the truncate side. Will it accomplish the problem where it is dark, there's no rail going down over towards the south, where a car already has gone down through there at night? Would this light that area up?
It will certainly improve it. It's yeah. Not ideal. It is set back from the edge of the trailable surface, the pole, or I guess the closest pole. So it's not optimal, but it will certainly.
But these new LED improve. Lights are brighter, so.
Well, they are, and I guess we'd have to look at what wattage, because it is set back. They don't have the spread that the traditional lights have, so we'll have to work with Nova Scotia Power.
Is the pole on the east side or the west side of the road?
It's on the upper side, I guess the north side, as you go past Bridge Street, closer to Ron's Trophies and Awards.
Okay.
Towards
Ron. Deputy Mayor Nolan.
So often we get street light requests and they're for people who want their driveways lit, but this is indeed a safety issue for everyone that travels that bridge.
Exactly.
We do have the ability to put in poles. We have to pay for them, but we can do that. I don't think this is going to be what is really needed for safety in that area. I mean, it's going to illuminate part of a sidewalk, but it is dark up there, and we're going to have winter. And did we give consideration to the cost to the cost of a pole? I mean, this is truly vehicle and pedestrian safety. This isn't about someone's driveway. And these are the matters we really should look seriously at. And I know we run a tight budget and this and that. But I mean, I would be willing to consider looking at the cost of a pole installation, something that's closer to the bridge. I mean, this needs a fix. And that's just my comment.
Councillor Frelick.
I agree completely with Councillor Norman. These poles are not close enough to do enough benefit. And when you're coming in from Milton and turning on the bridge, I mean, it's happened so many times to so many people. You just cannot see anything. So I think in the matter of safety, this needs to be looked at, because as Mike said, those lights only shine down. They don't spread out, especially the one over in Tupper Park. That's not going to do anything. So. I would rather see us address it rather than have a bad accident, and it will be a bad one if we ignore it. So,
can we, if Councillor Fisk?
Just a quick comment. Is there any way that Mike can bring it back to council on cost of the poles, or because I know they're very
no,
expensive.
Absolutely, and you're
very expensive. I know that.
Well, you'd be looking at a couple thousand
per pole,
easily.
Probably.
No, probably.
Really.
I think they're per pole. It's like 800, or but you're running lines. You've got to but no. Certainly, if it's council's wish, I can get more
or
firm costing.
Maybe I talked too far. I didn't realize it was, you know, that's not a real big cost. Maybe I'm going a little too deep. Maybe we can settle this problem today.
Well, rather than bring it back to council, which we're dealing here with a safety issue.
That's right.
And so you delay it another 2-3 weeks, right. Whatever, and you can have someone. Hurt around that time.
That's right.
I would suggest that we give staff the flexibility to move towards poles if those are necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we need to amend the motion to that effect, but the goal is to get it done quickly because of the safety hazard. So
exactly.
If we pass this motion, does that, as I read it, it does.
It works.
Yep. It works. Wow. So we pass this motion and staff has the flexibility then to push ahead, and if they run into a problem, they can bring it back, but we don't really want it brought back because we want the work done quickly. Is that right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm sure the province, I mean, doesn't necessarily have to be street poles. The province puts bridges up. You see them around HRM. The lights are standard things on the bridge approaches. Doesn't have to be just a pole, I think we should just leave staff the option to get those bridges well lit.
I think on the east side, there's no question at least one pole will be required. I don't think there's any way of getting around that. Perhaps on the west side, you might get away without a pole, but no, we'll proceed with that.
Okay, are you all happy for me to take the question? Yes, Councilor Frenna.
So does that mean the department says that they had no plans in the original plan? Does that mean they're free and clear, that we don't go back to them? And because that guardrail is a second issue.
Mm.
Yes.
That's right.
That it's only a half of a guardrail. And again, if someone gets injured, is that to come back to them or us? So
that will come back to them, those comments put forward to them. The street light would be to us.
It's a public road, and they're certainly, yes, the province is responsible for.
But are we pushing
are
it,
we
or
pushing
are we just
it?
Are we just letting them know that it's a problem?
I think that they've been advised that it is a problem. So they're certainly aware that we raise those concerns.
I guess we all know what file that would go into.
Well, that's separate from this motion. I mean, we can talk about it, but it's extraneous a bit to this motion.
Okay, we'll deal with this motion first.
So I'm going to take the vote on the motion first, and if you want to continue to discuss it, fine. All in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you. Yes, Councilor.
In addition to Councilor Frolic's concerns about not being heard by the province, I think we have to continually follow up on these requests so that we know we're being heard and the department is taking it seriously, because it is a really serious safety issue. And there's been incidents up to this point.
Yeah, somebody's already gone down in the bank.
Yeah.
It was almost me.
The CAO has talked to TIR at what, the director level?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll keep at it, but see how we make out.
Mayor Clark, just one more quick comment to Mike. I really think if necessary, the two poles we needed on the east and the west side, no problem with my it needs to be really laid out.
Well, that's all done, decided. You voted in favor of it.
Is the motion that we have there, is that going to be, would that be inclusive for that? Okay, good.
Okay, any more on that? Thank you, Mike. Queen's Place, Amira Center, any report or anything you'd like to bring to our attention?
Oh, always got to bring forth the Hank Snow Festival this weekend, which was well attended. Last I heard, there was 122 vehicles that had been there. I think they had 116 last year, so it's growing. And I know driving shuttle, I don't know about anybody else, but when you talk to everybody was very happy. I see more people went to Best Western and stayed. So that's starting to be for people who can't get there or drive as well, maybe over the years getting a little more feeble. They're using that, so it's growing big.
Something that was brought to my attention, let me do it here before I forget it again. I have a friend who comes down from Lunenburg County every year, and his wife is in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out to me that right opposite the stage, you know, up on the top, there's room between. There's a gap where by the head of the passage,
yes,
where wheelchairs sort of park themselves.
Yes.
But it's very inconvenient for the caregivers, because the people take those chairs right next to the gap.
Yes.
We should, and he asked that they be reserved for caregivers, and that makes some sense to me. I mean, if you're up there with a wheelchair and you're only talking two seats or so, so maybe we could take that back and look at it, because I think it's legitimate.
Yeah. Could I ask something else too? And I maybe this isn't the proper place to ask it, but they always rent four vehicles. You always get some people that are have infirmities, that even getting up into that van is very difficult. Is it somewhere that could be looked at, is with our two facilities for long-term care, that could be something looked at to be able to be used others along with to, I don't know. It's just because it's some people, I saw one lady in particular, I took her three times, and just her hip aches every time she got that jolt because it's such a high lift.
Well, let's note that and we'll
yes.
pass it on to the
yes.
Hanks New people. Yes, Councilman Clare.
I know the hub was very, very active, the cafe for the 4 days. I mean, they just were amazing and nonstop and didn't expect that much business, and certainly accommodated the crowds on Saturday, Friday and Saturday, but it was really a really good attendance. I volunteered, as most of us do, and when you're there talking to the people, it's great to hear the positive comments about the event and about the facilities and about our area. It's been really, really great comments. Good to hear that.
Okay, any more comments on that? Thank you, Councillor Fancy. There are the routine reports that are in your package. I don't know if you have any comments or anything you'd like to raise on them.
I would, Mayor Clark, if I could, comment on the Town Hall, Arts and Cultural Center monthly report. I'm glad that, and it's CAO preparing that. Is that you, Rick? Heather. Thank you. I'm really glad to see that in there. And certainly there appears to be life around the building. What's Sam Happ, right?
Summer events coordinator.
Summer events coordinator for the Town Hall is breathing lots of life into the front. You know, just seeing activity to me is such a wonderful thing. And, you know, now I think that's one of those steady builds that, you know, now people are stopping and getting an idea of what's going on inside the building and what they can do there. So I think that the vision that we started with there is well on its way. It'll take a little while longer, but I think in a couple of years that place will just be hopping with activity. And congratulations to those who are working to make that happen. And I don't like to give credit to Councillor Frelick unless I have to. But certainly he's been down there with a lot of his positive energy, and this has been a big part of that. So congratulations to he and everyone else and the artists that are stepping forward. And I really get a sense that at the Mi'kmaq Gallery, they're really moving forward as well. And nice to see them outside, sort of letting people know they're there as well.
Councillor McLeod.
The Thursday afternoon activities on the front lawn at the Town Hall Cultural Center has been very, very popular. It's providing more exposure to folks, local folks, people walking by, giving opportunities for local organizations to, you know, participate. And I know I've helped out for the last few weeks on Thursday afternoons with the free hot dogs and then selling tickets. And local folks that have never been inside the Town Hall have ventured in, and you know, that's what it's all about. So creating more of an activity outside is really a benefit to getting people to draw them inside the building as well. So that's worked out very, very well.
When you raised your hand, I thought you were going to tell me that my raffle ticket had won. I'm sorry.
Haven't drawn yet, not until the 31st.
Councilor Frelick?
Thank you for the comments, everyone, but the challenge is always been and will be the students are there, they're young, they're active, and they're keen. They are all gone as of this week. Sam's last day is Thursday. So the challenge is for us to work together with the community and keep it going. We've got a full, it's filling up for the fall, but there's Christmas and there's the new year, and so we have to keep our thinking caps on of what we can bring into that building and to keep it active. So it's been a great summer though.
I know last year, I mean, it's such a beautiful building. If we could, you know, trim it for seasons and things, and I realize as a region we've spent enough money on that building, but I think there's enough people that live in the region of Queens that like to trim and do things, that if we could somehow start a network and find somebody or somebodies that would love to have that building to trim and start thinking about fall. I mean, it doesn't cost anything to go cut cat knives. you know, it doesn't cost any, you know, but it takes somebody with the time and you know, and I think we own the building, we're the ones that have to do that. We're the ones that have to somehow find a group or let people know and keep that building looking seasonal at no money. And you know, and I don't know, is that recreation? Is that, you know, who's the point person for the town hall? How do we go about getting that to happen? Because we have to be the ones to make it happen. We don't have to be the ones to do the work, but we have to be the ones that make that happen.
That's a good point. It's actually been a topic that's been discussed with our stakeholders working group. We've actually increased some of the we purchased some additional hanging material or hanging fixtures so that people can put some different art or things around inside. And we've also been working with the Astor Theater to discuss that. So I think that comments reflects some of the attitude of people to update the interior and change it out. And we do need community stakeholders to help us do that. So fair comment.
And in deference to whoever might be mayor come Christmas, for goodness sake, let's do something with the lights. I got hammered, each year I get hammered harder about the lights, and we really need something better.
Are you talking about the tree?
However we do a tree in front of there, whether we use the blue spruce that are there, or whether we put another one up and light that properly, but last year it looked as though they had a sort of a waist, the trees looked as though they had a waistband on. There's nothing at the top, nothing at the bottom. So, yes, Councilor Frelick.
I think that request is coming your way, so hang on. But what I wanted to say, a lot of the things that we noticed this summer, the building, beautiful as it is, with lots of tourists walking by, they don't know what it is. They look at it, they stand out. When we're out in the lawn, we can tell them what it is, but there is nothing on the building to say that that's an art gallery, that there's a gallery downstairs, that there's theater there. It's the Astor Theater signs over to the side. We have two sad little signs on the front lawn. That building needs to have a really good visual on it, because if you're not there on the front lawn talking to them, they stand there, look at it, they think it's the town hall offices, and they walk on down the street. So we didn't go this far and spend that much money to have people walk by and then ask, well, what's going on in Liverpool? So it's a huge problem.
Sure.
And it needs to be somewhere in that budget so that we can do it. And it needs to be creative, not just Town Hall Arts and Culture Center.
And it needs to be planned well in advance. Susan, I'll get you a second. You know, if you wait until the budget is passed, we may need to be pre-approving it.
Well, I was just going to suggest, I don't know if there's any, you know, the Canada 150 fund is still available for applications, and under the cultural history and cultural aspect, we might be able to apply for some funding under that as well. Just a thought that would be put to staff.
Okay, anything else on that? If not, then I'm moving into 16.1.